Evening, members. Welcome to the September meeting of the Central Area Planning Committee. Chairman's notices. I draw your attention to the notices on page 4 and 5. Sound recording. We have been recorded and we're on CCTV. In the event there's no planned fire alarm, so if you hear the alarm, head for the exits that have got a green here. And health and safety, make sure you're aware of different levels in the chamber. Right, apologies for absence. None? You're welcome. Right, minutes of the last meeting, agenda item 3, page 9. Councillor Kane.
Chairman, I gave a block apology when I was on holiday and it hasn't been noted in the minutes. Chairman.
Yes, noted, thank you.
Thank you.
Page 10, page 11, page 12, page 13. Page 14. Is it agreed? Disclosure of interests. I've got an interest in agenda item 6, which is personal and possibly prejudicial. Therefore, in the interest of openness and transparency, I will vacate the chair for this item. Any other disclosures? Councillor Pullman.
I've got a non-pecuniary interest in item
5,
but that's been withdrawn.
So yeah.
And I've got a non-pecuniary interest in item
7.
Thank you. Councillor Savage.
I've got a non-pecuniary interest in agenda item 5, as the owner invited me to a non-binding carnival meeting. Mm-hmm. I have a non-pecuniary item in agenda item 6, which is as my declaration on minute 327, which we just agreed, and in addition, I attended the site.
Okay, has the councillor heard?
Thank you, Chairman. Non-pecuniary interest in agenda item number 7, in that I know the applicant.
Any other disclosable interests? Thank you. Agenda item 5 has been withdrawn. So I now hand the chair over to Councillor Savage. Agenda item 6, which is House / MEL / 17 / 00643 8 St Paul's Mews, Heybridge, Malden. And the recommendation is for approval. On my right is Ian Robinson, you may or may not have met before, who will now go through the application, and this follows the previous meeting, which was adjourned for a site visit.
Thank you, Chair. This application seeks planning permission to install 4 roof lights in the northwest elevation of 8 St Paul's Mews. The existing floor plans are shown there, and that's the existing elevations. If you notice the bottom left drawing, that's the existing side elevation into which the roof lights would be installed. The proposed floor plans are shown as thus. The proposal is for a bedroom and a dressing area in the roof space. The 4 roof lights are shown on that second floor plan, or loft floor as it's titled. The four roof lights are shown on that plan, which you'll recall from the last committee meeting. Since that meeting, we've received a site section drawing that's been provided by the applicant to show the positioning of the roof light 1.7 metres above the finished floor level and the angle of outlook that would be possible from within that room. There's photos of the site, which some of councillors will recall from the visit yesterday, and it's the top right picture in which the roof lights would be installed in that elevation.
Excuse me, is somebody going to deal with that notice?
It's only our screen that's got that. Do you know how to fix that? Yeah?
No.
That's all right. We'll sort that.
Right, okay.
The position of offices is that the proposal would not cause harm to the character appearance of the site or the conservation area and would not cause overlooking of neighbouring properties due to the height that the roof lights would be set above eye level. It's therefore recommended that the application is approved. Thank you.
Okay. Right, now I'm going to allow two members of the public to speak because we have a balanced public speaking, one owner and one objector. They'll go in the order of the list. The first one is Mark Gorma, and you have 2 minutes.
Good evening, councillors. I would like to take up this opportunity to explain why I seek your approval for the aforementioned plans. I have lived in the Lakes with them for 9 years. Four years ago, my partner...
Chairman, there's no time down
here. No. Okay. Carry on speaking, that's...
Possible to just turn around.
Is that okay?
That's better.
Okay. I'd like to this opportunity to explain why I seek your approval for the aforementioned plans. I have lived in the Lakes Town for 9 years, and 4 years ago my partner, along with her two children, moved in. 9 months ago I was lucky enough to become a father myself to a little boy. So we now have one boy, age 11, a girl 9 and a baby, hence the reason for extra room. I feel the option for us to move into a bigger house in the Haybridge area is virtually impossible due to the current house market, making it unaffordable for working parents on a low to medium income. We absolutely love where we live and continue to remind ourselves of this when we finish work late or working through the night. It's a very nice feeling that our children will grow up in a very safe environment, which we hope to enjoy for the rest of our lives. We both work very close to home and both children attend local schools. On top of this, we are lucky enough to have my parents close by to help with childcare, which allows my partner to return to work. We really have explored every avenue regarding moving to achieve more space, but this is completely unaffordable and having extra room in our house is our only option. I recently approached Mr. Hammonds for a friendly chat just to explain that I never wished for him to feel he had lost his privacy and look to assure him, should the plans be approved, the windows will be set at 1.7 metres above eye line, stopping any overlooking and therefore stopping any case where we would look to seek to look into his property. The Chief Executive recommended approval for on the site visit. No items of objection stand up, e.g. conservation and loss of amenity. No panel policy contravened, e.g. the LDV. Thank you for your time, councillors.
Thank you. And we have an objector, Elaine Hammonds.
We strongly object as this whole application process to date has been unlawful with defects and completely contravenes recommendations in your local development plan and Essex Design Guide. Point D1, policy D1.5 of your local plan states, taking into account privacy, overlooking, outlook, noise, light and visual impact. We do not agree with the officer's report that this proposal is in accordance with policy D1. How can this be when our privacy, directly overlook, change our outlook, light and visual impact? We question how this can be. These proposed windows totally contravene the Essex Design Guide. The guide clearly states a minimum of 25 metres between houses may be acceptable. Ours is 12.5. The latest officer's report, which is very biased towards the applicant, fails again to mention this. 8 St Paul's Mews was built with no first floor windows due to the close proximity to our house. It is clear from the plans that they're creating 2 equally sized rooms with 2 roof lights in each, only 1.7 metres from the floor, compromising privacy, light and overlooking to all of our rear facing habitable rooms. This would have an adverse impact and damage to our residential amenities. We are aware that it's been said that these windows are in the roof and looking upwards. We totally disagree due to the pitch of the roof. Even the birds can see it at the top. And it'd be easy for anyone, especially when open, to look straight into our rear facing six rooms, which includes a bedroom, bathroom and ensuite, which is totally unacceptable and unfair. Whether it's one, two, three or four windows, open or closed, this will result in a detrimental loss of amenities. The street scene would also change considerably, compromising our outlook. There is not one house on the development with four windows on one side. Do you want to set a precedent? When we bought our new home over 8 years ago, in the secure knowledge that it was protected by your local development plan, the Essex Design Guide, restricted covenants and being in a conservation area, indeed our solicitor spent a long time explaining that to us. This application totally contravenes all of the above. Thank you.
Thank you. Right, Hayden East, Councillor Miss Bill.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't agree with the officer's recommendation. It's obvious to anyone without a white stick that you've got two equal size rooms there. One is not a dressing room, it's a bedroom. So they're increasing that so that the description of the property is totally wrong. It seriously is overlooking. I've looked down. I couldn't go on the site visit due to working, but I have been down and had a look, and it definitely would be overlooked. So I will be recommending refusal.
Okay, the other ward member, I believe, is Councillor Harker, who's not here. So I open it open to other members. Councillor Lewis.
Oh dear. Thank you, Chairman. I was one of the people who was particularly keen that members should go down and see this at the last meeting, because whilst I've got massive sympathy with the applicant, I could not, and since I joined this council in 2007, I have never voted for something that I couldn't live in myself. And I would really feel as though we were being overlooked. I accept what was said and what we saw yesterday about the roof lights being at 1.7 metres and that you only looked out at a certain angle. You can't say that. If people want to look out, they'll look out. And I just feel that it really, really does overlook the back of the house. Of number 10, and of number 6, because it's at right angles to it. It's not as though it's in a terrace. It's set at right angles, so you're looking clean into the back of the objector's premises. What we did look at yesterday was that it could possibly be that the plan could be orientated in a different way, and that the roof lights could go in the opposite side of the roof. Clearly we have to judge this application on as it stands now, but I wonder if the officer, through you Mr. Chairman, could confirm that if we were to turn this down, that the applicants would have a free go to come back and potentially work with our officers to some extent to see whether or not the alteration could be done, but for it to be less overlooking on the other house. If it was on the other side of the roof, it wouldn't overlook anybody other than other rooftops and then out towards the estuary. But I really do feel that I couldn't sit in that garden comfortably. It's incredibly close. These houses, when they were developed, used every square inch of land. There isn't a massive great garden or anything like this down there. And I wouldn't be able to support this application at all, I'm afraid.
Right. Thank you. For the benefit of the recording, the officer nodded, but I'm going to ask him to audibly confirm that.
Still, the free go is available for a second plumbing application, and a pre-application advice is available in the conventional way.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
Thank you, Chairman. I agree with the other councillors that have spoken, but through you, Chair, I would like to ask the officer if he agrees with the lady's comment about the distance that she mentioned.
Yes. Through you, Chair, thank you. The distance, as you saw from the site visit yesterday, is 12 and a half metres. If anything, that is of some benefit, I would say. As you can see from this drawing, because of the angle that's shown there of the blue line, the closer the neighbouring property is, the harder it is to look directly downwards into the neighbouring property, which is what would have been required. So if anything, the short distance would be better than something that's further away.
Councillor Kane.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I didn't go to the site visit, but I did drive down there a couple of days ago just to have a look. I mean, obviously this isn't my ward, so obviously I listen to what the ward members say. I actually have some fear for both the applicant and for the objectors, because I can see I can sort of see, if you like, both sides of the coin as far as this application goes. All I would say, as I sort of highlight, and I've been fairly good at guessing these over the last few years, is that I actually think it probably does fulfil most of the criteria, and I suspect that the officer's recommendation to approve is on balance probably correct. And again, my only concern is, Chairman, that if we refuse this, it will go to appeal, and it's likely to be turned over on appeal.
To the appeal is of no material consideration.
I'm just highlighting it that if this does go to appeal, it will cost the taxpayers money, Chairman, and most likely will be successful. Thanks.
Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I did go down to the site visit yesterday, and I did see how detrimental this application, if approved, will be to the objector. I don't accept that because there is a small distance between the two, one simply has to stand on a box if you want to have a look down. I don't think that's anything to do with it at all. I did particularly look around at all of the roofs. Indeed, the objector has one small window in his own roof, but that doesn't look down on any other windows. And if these four windows are approved, then they will look directly onto the whole of the back house, the whole of the garden, and in fact it's going to be even higher than the bedroom windows of the objector. So, like Councillor Lewis, I really do genuinely feel that I could not live under those circumstances, and therefore I'll be voting against the officer's recommendation.
Anybody else? Councillor Beale, you've made a proposal. I didn't hear a seconder.
I'm happy to second.
Okay. Could you give me reasons for refusing this, please?
Well, certainly the overlooking, the loss of amenity, the distance between the flank of one dwelling and the main shape, I don't know how to call it, is but the main windows against the flank. I don't have a problem with the parking or anything else. That didn't bother me particularly. unless Councillor Beal has, but it's mainly the loss of privacy, the overlooking, and the that just made the whole thing far too imposing for me.
Councillor Beal, do you wish to add anything? As you called this in? Councillor Harker.
Thank you. I was just wondering, could I suggest D1, the ODP, which is 4, protect the amenities surrounding areas, taking into account privacy, overlooking.
Okay. Yeah. Any more? No, is that...
Yeah.
You've got that. Okay. Please read them out, yes.
Based on what councillors have said, a suggested reason for refusal could be that the proposed development would constitute a neighbourly development due to the proposed roof rights causing overlooking and a loss of privacy within the neighbouring property. The proposal is therefore contrary to policy D1 of the Maldon District Local Development Plan.
Okay. Right. The proposition is for refusal. All those in agreement with that? 7. Those against? Those abstaining? 1. Thank you. If you'd like me to continue, or should we get Brian back in? Thank you. Agenda, cool, the seat's warm. Agenda item 7, 16 High Street.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, members. The application that's presented in front of members this evening is a proposal to change the use and conversion of ground floor to create one live-work unit and to change of use and conversion of first floor to create 2 further studio flats. Here we have the application site edged in red. The area edged in green here is a right-of-way for the future occupiers of the site. Here we have a site plan of the site. This is the high street and this is the rear of the site. We have the existing floor plans showing the kitchen and this addition element attached to the rear part of the building. Here we have this, the elevation of the existing building. And the floor plans, for the ground floor plans, you can see the live-work unit created at ground floor level. And at first floor level, there's 2 further one-bed units. And this is the elevation proposed. And as part of the planning application, at the back of the site, a proposed porch is being constructed. Here we have the photos of the site. This is the rear elevations, and this is the front elevation of the premise. The application shows limited changes to the external appearance of the building. Only the porch element to the rear will be constructed. There will be no impact on the residential amenity. In the report, it is noted that the retail unit that's remaining will be small, but it would not be lost. And therefore, the retail unit will still be fronting onto the highway, but would not harm the vitality and the viability of the high street. And as such, the officers recommend for approval, subject to conditions. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Maldon North of Councillor Perlman.
Thank you, Chairman. This would be another venture by Mark Salisbury of Bright's Path that alone kind of merits the standard that this will be put to. I've had various site visits. I've seen the plans, I've seen the construction work that will carry on, and it's obviously to a very high standard. Even on town, we did put for refusal, and I was one of them, because we wanted to keep the retail aspect of the high street. Therefore, another visit, I saw the actual size of the retail shop or office or whatever it may be, and it constitutes everything by ticking the box that I checked on the high street, and there was 13 other retail outlets of the same size, 13 that had development on the ground floor and on the first floor. And in fact, thinking about it, even Oakwood House, which I own, I actually rent a shop that's half that size for a gift shop. So there should be no objection to loss of any retail, because the purpose is that, again, if this went to appeal, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on, because there's 13 other places in the high street that have got actually that development. There's been no objection from the conservation officer. We need more residential, therefore I'd like to go with the officer's recommendation for approval.
Right, that's a proposal to approve. Members agree?
Agree.
Thank you.
No, second.
Oh.
I seconded it.
He seconded it.
Well, I'd like to...
Okay. Yeah.
I was simply asking, I'd like some information first, please, and it might assist everybody. If we look on the report, section 5, the main considerations, we describe this area as not being situated in the core shopping area as identified in the local development plan, and I was really quite surprised at that, because it's right at the middle of the high street. Now, we're keeping the retail element, so in this circumstance that wouldn't be an issue. My understanding, and I'd like some confirmation please, or otherwise, was that the retail area finished at West Square, effectively, that it goes right up to the top of the high street. I had previously thought that it actually went round the top of the high street, and when we looked at number 1A Fanbridge Road, we were told, no, it didn't. It stopped at the dentist's shop at the top of the high street. Has that changed in the local development plan? Because I don't remember having picked up on that. And certainly, almost opposite the church here as this is, you know, I mean, you're right in the heart of what is the high street. I'm surprised that it's now considered that it's not in the core shopping area. Where does the core shopping area finish?
That's a nasty one, to ask. Oh, we've got a map.
So we're just looking for the map for. There's almost a contradiction within the report, because lower down it tells you how it's predominantly retail. So, you know, you can't have your cake and your eat me, can you?
But nevertheless, it's not actually a loss of a retail unit. All you're doing is making a smaller one, which is very often what a lot of people want.
I accept that. I just wanted some clarification as to what the officers considered the retail area. We could have another application coming forward where it had been agreed this isn't part of the core retail area.
Well, whilst we're looking that up, are you ready to answer that? Or?
For you, Chair, it depends on what the map shows in some respect, and we're waiting for it to load and it's not doing it. I think what is meant, I must say, I'll clarify once it's before us, but once you've gone round that bend, it does become smaller units rather than the main strip of the high street, which is the...
But that's the character of Malden.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Hurd.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't accept that this is... this isn't in the middle of the high street. This is towards the top of the high street. But I do think it is in a part of the town which is known for offices and cafes and individual shops. Yes, I would agree that it's not losing a commercial area, but it is once again eroding the high street. If Councillor Perlman has spoken about 13 other units in the town, then that's 13 other small shops, 13 other shops that cannot be used for anything other than selling matches from or something such as that. My concern is if this becomes residential, and I would ask members to look at the top left picture, is that really an area which would allow residents to sit comfortably, because that's their amenity area? And would you really want to live there sitting in the shade? And I don't think that there is sufficient amenity area there at all. And once again, this is another application which is bland, cramped, non-friendly and fragmenting the high street yet again. And so I think that, yes, of course it's a small shop, but the road there is very, very narrow indeed, and that is the character. But what are you going to put in that shop? Where are you going to store it? Where is the toilet going to be?
Yeah. No. Councillor Perlman.
Sorry to disagree with Councillor Hurd. We don't normally disagree, but I have to totally disagree with this. I mean, a couple of doors down, you've got Annabelle Brown, which is a little architect's office, which is very small. The fact at the end of the day, the Thai restaurant has been losing revenue, they wanted to sell, the top of the buildings have remained empty for years upon years, and there is a phase two, which the conservation area officer is very happy about. If you see the dilapidated building at the top of phase two, is that's all going to be renovated, have better roofs and all the rest of it. So this is going to be, it's a retail, whether it's large or it's small, mm-hmm. There's plenty in the town where I am totally, as it's my award, do not want to lose any retail aspect. And we won't. There will be a retail shop. Regardless to the size, unfortunately, it's irrelevant what size it is. It should be passed through for approval.
I thought we had a policy of, what do they call it, living over the shop, to try and get people to live over the shops and bring people into the night time at Corriby because you're living over the shop. Yeah. Councillor Kane.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I totally disagree that it's eroding the high street in any way, shape or form. If you look at in the period I've lived here, so in the last 20 years, the high street has actually changed. And it's actually, it's come about now that the way that the high street is actually laid out, you've got the retail at the front and you have the residential behind. If you go virtually, I mean, I've not been behind every shop in the high street, but the way the town is developing, that's how it's developing. And I think that's how that's what's keeping the town and the high street thriving. It's evolving. The size of the offices are changing based on the economy of our area to sort of reflect what is required in the town. You know, bigger shops, smaller shops, whatever. But for sure, it's not eroding. It's not eroding the town. If we don't sort of if we don't allow the town centre to develop, that is what will kill it off. Mm. And by having this sort of design that we've seen, I don't know if we've got the by purpose or by luck, but we do seem to have these residential blocks at the back of the shops, and it does seem to work very, very well. That area, it seems to me, is almost like the estate agent's area with one or two hairdressers and whatever. And that, I suspect that you'll have another estate agent move in, and I'm sure it'll suit them down to a ground. But it does keep that high street alive and commercial. I'll be supporting this, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Shaughnessy.
These flats are very small, it says so here, one bedroom units, and recently the housing officers department has told us that there is not a need for one bedroom units in the town.
That's not a planning issue. I'd take a vote, yeah.
Could I just ask the officer, what is the amenity area, and is that is that below or above the minimum requirements?
Through you, Chairman. The application, if I go back to the existing floor plan, you'll see there's an outbuilding with an attachment here. This element will be removed to a much larger courtyard area to the rear. And in the report at paragraph 5.51, it says it will measure approximately 11 metres by 8.5 metres.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Chairman.
That's... Blimey. I always get confused when they put it in metres. I prefer it in old money.
Then you have a house down up there, isn't
it? Well, in square metres, that's quite a bit. Well above the Essex Design Guide, aren't we? Right. There's a recommendation to approve, seconded by Councillor Kane, proposed by Councillor Perlman. Is that agreed? Against? Two. That's carried. Thank you. Agenda item 8, Happy Days Caravan Park.
Thank you, Chairman. The application seeks to vary condition 2 on a 1993 planning application regarding to the extension of the permitted holiday season. So it's from 6 months to 11.5 months of the year. Here we have is the application site, Ocean Road, and this is the established caravan park. This is the block plans, and here we see the individual, the caravans. This is the aerial photo of the site. And these are photos from the entrance of the site and within the site. And this photo is taken from south looking upwards. And this is the caravan park here, and here's the salt, Right. The application is actually a resubmission following a recent refusal. And the reasons for refusal, there were two, and they're listed in paragraph 3.1.6 of the report. The concerns were mainly reasons for refusal one related to the closing period for 2 weeks, 14 days. And the reasons for refusal two was due to the inadequate flood risk assessment submitted at the time. With regards to the reasons for refusal one, the applicant has provided additional information in support of this current application, with also details and information from recent planning applications and appeals that shows that there are other caravan parks and districts that's extended the holiday season to 11.5. Therefore, the proposal would be consistent with other caravan parks across the district, and the condition has been imposed to prevent them from occupying them full-time and on a permanent basis. With regards to reasons for refusal two, revised flood risk assessment that's been submitted, and the Environment Agency and the Environment Emergency Planner has raised no objections to the submitted details. And as such, the current application has been the current application has addressed the reasons for refusal, and therefore is recommended for approval. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Beale. I was to say, it's a corporate objective to encourage tourism. Here we go. And the adjacent caravan park, OC, has already got 11 and a half months, so it's a no-brainer, really. Agree. Oh, Councillor Savage.
It's on page 46, 5.5.2. The fourth line says which is the flood zone risk. Well, I thought I knew which risk it is, but it's referring to flood zone 11.5. Could you explain, please?
11.5, it doesn't say months.
Yeah. For you, Chairman, it reversed to months, so I missed out the word months afterwards.
Yeah.
After 11.5.
Well spotted.
Apologies.
Well spotted.
Thank you.
Is that a great... Sorry, Councillor Hurd.
Well, I'd just like to make the observation Chairman, that it is because we have made these previous decisions, because we are setting precedents, that our hands are tied now on these things. And I just remind members that that's exactly what we're doing, setting a precedent. I mean, this is something where you could simply go away for 2 weeks on holiday and then live there all year round.
As I recall,
I was going to say, in defence of the members, it wasn't us that set the precedent. It was an overturn by the planning inspectors, and once that one was overturned, I'm afraid our hands were tied. But it wasn't a decision taken in this chamber. It was a decision taken in Bristol.
As I recall, with the OC campsite, there was a condition that ran along the lines that they had to keep a log or register, and I don't see that in these conditions. I need a new pair of glasses. I better go to Speckside. Right, okay then, right, so that's in there. Councillor Beale.
Just a quick one, Chairman. I'd like to please make sure that register is kept up to date, because I made the council aware of someone that was living in it on a full-time basis, and he wasn't the only one. I mean, we actually took him to court for that.
Could I ask our enforcement officer, they put you on the spot, how often do you look at these registers? Have you ever been down to Osey campsite and asked to have a look at the register, for example?
We have been involved with Osey campsite and looked at the register. They did all provide alternative addresses, but because they're staying there for so long, council tax would class them as their main residence. So it's a quite a difficult situation.
Right.
So
because they are staying there, albeit a holiday residence, you know, I mean, if we've got the Essex equivalent of the Sons of Glendower, does that mean that we should be charging council tax for those caravans, and are we charging council tax?
They're on the electoral roll, some of them.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they're on the electoral roll. I've knocked on their doors. So does somebody else want to speak? Sorry, Councillor Kane.
Thanks, sir. Chairman, I mean, you know, it's all good. I actually have got no problem with 11 and a half weeks, whether it was agreed in Brighton, 11 and a half months, whether it was agreed in Brighton or not. But what I would say, we mustn't lose sight of the fact that a lot of these families possibly would be homeless if it wasn't for these areas.
Yeah.
And, you know, and in effect, you know, some people are very low earners.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have these sort of low value areas to live, it would be problematic, and it would fall on the council to actually, and the cost to the council, to rehome and cover the costs for these families. So to my way of thinking, I think it actually is very, very, very important that it's not classed as residential, but it does actually fill a gap in the social sort of fabric that is lacking, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that the government should be providing. But
they use the local amenities, which makes it more viable.
So I think it's very important that we do bear that in mind.
Yeah. Councillor Hurd.
Well, just through you two, can I ask through you if that's Councillor Kane's opinion or is it a fact?
It's an opinion.
All right, recommendation to approve. Is that agreed?
Great.
Thank you. Agenda item 9, there's an update, is there not? Members' update, which lists some more appeals lodged. Is that noted? And then there's one appeal decision which was a delegated dismissed. Could I ask a question on appeals? Does the inspector determine whether it's a written appeal or do we have any say in the matter? Because I've been asked that question.
Through you, Chair, the ultimate decision is with the inspector for applications like that, where it's a household application, there is a fast-tracked
fast-tracked.
We've had a house for that.
It's automatic that if it's a householder application,
right.
99% of the time it automatically follows.
But if it wasn't a householder, the inspector decides?
The applicant can make a request, we can make a request for the procedure,
but at the end of the day,
the decision is with the inspector.
Okay, thank you very much. Right. So that's the end of the applications. So we go back to the agenda, which is any other items of business that the chairman decides are urgent. I have none. Exclusion of the press and public. To resolve that under section 100A brackets 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of the exempt information as defined in paragraph 6 of paragraph 1 of schedule 12A to the Act and